welcome once again to In Perspective. I'm Bob Branco, and my co-host is with me, Al Hensel. Hi, Alan.
Hello, Bob. How are you this fine morning?
I am doing just great. 1 week away from my 40th class reunion from Perkins School. I'm all excited.
That is going to be a gas. So much has happened in the last 40 years, too, Bob.
Yes, and we have an entire weekend planned with our class and our loved ones.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that, and I hope it goes off without a hitch. You deserve to, with all the planning and all the work that you do, Bob, this should come off flawlessly, as I'm sure most or all of them do.
Well, thank you very much. I am very confident that we're all going to do all the things that we want to do and that we're going to be nostalgic about it as well.
Excellent.
As you probably know, our country is divided. We're divided seriously. And so we're going to be talking about President Trump and his performance. But Alan, I think before we get started on President Trump, you have a letter there from a listener of In Perspective that you might want to share with the public. Am I correct?
Yes, I do. Let me just pull it up real quick here, Bob.
All right.
This is, and Becky, I'm sorry if I mispronounce your last name, but this is a letter from Becky. Let me look.
Frankie
here.
Berger.
Frankie Berger. Thank you, Bob. And Becky writes from, I believe, the Seattle, Washington area. Is that pretty close?
Probably.
So we'll say in Washington State. But Becky writes, Bob, I really enjoyed you and Al together on the podcast. The one that I listened to, you both were talking about aging and how it is vital to stay busy and learning and being active. So get your brains going and your body going and eat healthy. So that is awesome, Becky. You hit it right on the money. We couldn't have summed it up better. So thank you very much for your contribution. And anybody else who cares to talk about that subject or any of our other podcasts, please feel free to do so, and Bob will give you the access information.
Well, I have a list of 103 people that I send the MP3 files of our show to, so they'll get to hear it and comment. They know how to comment. I also send my show to CJoy Internet Radio, where they have scheduled us for Tuesday mornings, 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time. So if you don't want to hear the MP3 file on your computer, just tune in to CJoy Internet Radio, 7:30 a.m. on Tuesday mornings. Alan, our country is divided, as you know. We are the most divided, I think, that we've ever been since we were born. And I want to put this all in perspective and explain why I feel President Trump got into office. He got into office because people were tired of the establishment. It didn't matter to most people how Trump behaved during his campaign, good or bad. It mattered that he was different, and people just weren't voting anymore. They were fed up with politics. They wanted a change. Whether this change works or not, we'll see. But isn't it clear to you, Alan, that this is why Trump is in office right now?
Absolutely. That's right on the money, Bob, in my opinion.
So how do you feel so far in the first 110 or 120 days, how long it's been since President Trump's been in office? Do you think this country is getting better, or do you think it's getting worse, or do you think we're in a status quo?
Well, I guess we have to look at it from two different perspectives. Is it getting less divided at this point? I feel no. I think you still have most of the mainstream media, which is moving further and further left, largely because of the 80 to 90% of mainstream media itself going along with or being the arm of the Democrat Party. Clearly, both factions are sharply moving toward the left more versus since before President Obama took office in 2009. So we have a situation here, Bob, in my opinion, where this Trump movement, which is historic, and we'll probably need two or three podcast episodes to really get into the minutia, but when we voted for President Trump, we, as you said, were voting because we didn't like the establishment status quo. We wanted to see change. A lot of us were tired of being dictated what to say, what to do. And many of us, myself definitely included, as a 58-year-old man who has a wife and three children, they're all adults now. So I feel I've tried to do my best, as has my wife, and I know you have as well, Bob, to be responsible contributors to our communities. But we felt, I think, more and more cut off from having a say. You know, for instance, in my company for the last 15 years, so it's pre-Obama, we couldn't say Merry Christmas to our customers. It was Happy Holidays. We don't want to offend. And when Donald Trump came out and started calling spades as spades, basically speaking his mind, it wasn't all accurate. Yes, he's bombastic. Yes, there's a lot of reasons why a lot of people were and maybe should still be a bit nervous, because he doesn't fit the stereotypical image of a polished statesman, if you will. A Barack Obama or a George Bush Sr. I kind of look at those two men, presidents, as your very typical polished, smooth presidents.
President Reagan also.
Yeah, Reagan was kind of a hybrid because he believed in saying it, calling it what it was. But he was, you're right, Bob, he was more refined about it. That's true. Anyway, my long-winded point here is, to answer your question, I think we're even more divided than we were when Donald Trump took office. There are a lot more people sort of digging in on both sides of the political aisle. But I also believe something that the mainstream media does not want to talk about, because I believe they genuinely have a visceral hate toward Donald Trump since the insulting war began from the media and Donald Trump before he even became elected. You might remember that they thought he was going to be a joke. So that got him going. He got them going more. And now we have a full-blown escalated media versus president war. Those people are not reporting the fact that our economic numbers are up. There are more jobs. Donald Trump has relaxed regulations, government regulations, so that small businesses can begin to thrive. And he's making decisions that he honestly feels, Bob, again, one of the big reasons why I voted for him, he's relaxing regulations and getting government off our back as much as he possibly can.
So, well, you know, Alan, I think there is too much political correctness. And I think what happens is there are groups out there that want you to be offended. It's not that you're offended. If I say redskin to a black person, I don't think he's going to be offended. But these groups want him to be offended. I think that's what's going on with political correctness. But what I want to do now is talk briefly about climate change and how there's been mixed reactions about President Trump pulling out of the Paris
Climate Accord. We'll call it
Climate Accord, whatever they call
it.
Yeah, okay.
Climate change accord.
Let me say this briefly about climate change, okay? Do I believe there's climate change? Yes. Do I believe it's man-induced? Maybe. Because to me, for every scientist that wants to publicly admit that man is to blame for climate change, we all have to understand that the Earth, as the natural order of things, goes through cycles. It might have been this warm 800 years ago. Then we had a little bit of an ice age where it cooled off. The Earth has its natural abilities. The sun has its natural sunspots. Are the glaciers melting? Maybe. Are the coastlines moving a little bit further inland? Maybe. But again, do we know for sure, Alan, that these things are happening because of man.
We don't.
We don't know.
They don't. And I study climatology, Bob. They don't. One third, less than one third, about 26 or 7% of all climate-related scientists really feel that man is the biggest contributor to climate change. About 40% don't know. They have no idea. They think, you know, well, you know, it could and maybe not. Maybe the rest, the remaining amount in the 20s somewhere, I'm not lickety-split with arithmetic, but I think it's in the 20s, feel that man is not the most significant contributor to climate change. So you see, there's everybody agrees that 97% of all climatologists, let's say, climate-related scientists, scientists who study the climate, 97% of those people feel that climate change, or that what man is doing to our climate, is ultimately not good. But there's a wide array of disagreement in terms of how much. That's the problem, Bob.
Okay, and I'm going to give you my assessment of my thoughts on what President Trump did pulling out of this accord.
Oh, absolutely. Let's hear it.
America knows that it wants to clean up the environment. We're not stupid. We don't need government to tell us that we want to live cleanly. It's like you and your wife know you have to keep your house clean. You guys don't need me or anybody else to tell you how to clean your house. You guys want to do it in your own way, as long as it's not hurting anybody else, including yourselves. This is what you guys choose to do. America wants to do what it wants to do. This is what our founding fathers intended for America. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. So this is one of the reasons why I have no problem with this. I know a lot of other people do have a problem, and I respect everyone's opinion. Do I feel that we need some help figuring a few things out in the future climatologically? Yes. I think there are more El Ninos nowadays, more weather phenomena. If you read Consumer Vision, you've read Stephen Roberts' weather columns. You know what I'm talking about, and I trust what Stephen Roberts has to say. He's well-versed in weather. He wrote a book about it, in fact. Mm-hmm. But we do need some help, yes. But let's let America do what America is capable of doing. And I'm glad you mentioned lifting government regulations. The government regulates a lot of our lives. And it's nice to have government. We pay taxes because the government needs to support a lot of people with special needs and different circumstances in their lives. You know, Social Security and SSI, yes. But does the government need to regulate almost everything that we do?
My answer is no, and that's the good thing, Bob, about our system of democracy, the way the founding fathers set it up. We now have a Democrat Party, and we have a Republican Party. The Democrat Party, in my opinion, in very short summation, is the party that wants to push government in to make sure that we, say, independently wealthy people, so that's most of us in this country, don't get taken advantage of. The Republicans, on the other hand, are very practical-minded fixer people. They don't want big government. They feel, look, if we have a problem, let's come up with a temporary or, if necessary, a long-term solution to fix that problem. And I think what's great about our system, Bob, still, despite the Democrats trying to take it all over, when you get the two working together, you come up with a balance. And, you know, so pulling out of the Paris Climate Change Accord, you know, Donald Trump, if you watched his speech, and you'll never hear it played on the likes of MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN. I, by the way, I call CNN the Clinton News Network. They were there for both of them and in the tank for both, especially Hillary. They did everything they could to try to get her elected, and the people just didn't, you know, felt we basically knew what we wanted, and we voted for who we wanted, and the majority of electoral votes won, but that's another subject. But my point is here, Bob, that Donald Trump doesn't feel that we should have to pay $3 trillion. And by the way, nobody's disputing that figure. $3 trillion to this climate agency that's largely run by Europe, and only have one 194th or fifth of a vote. We have just as much of a vote as, say, a little tiny third world nation who's involved in the Paris Climate Change Accord. That's just the beginning. He also feels that we're going to lose over 2.5 million jobs, you know, over the life of this accord. And then, of course, to tap it all off, his big reasoning is, why should we have to spend all this money when you have two countries, China and India, two of the three top polluting countries, not even having to start to clean up their, you know, their act until the year 2030. So they've got 13 years to continue to increasingly pollute the atmosphere when we, right off the mark, have to begin shutting down or cutting back on all of our fossil fuel-related plants, cars, you know, any energy-producing, fossil energy-producing devices. We have to start cutting those back right away. That's going to lead to job loss. It's going to lead to more money at the gas line, you know, for those of us who need to spend money on gas to fill our oil tanks, to heat our homes. You know, all that's going to get cut by the wayside. And let's not lose one thing, Bob. When Donald Trump mentioned in his speech, I am backing out of the Paris Climate Change Accord, they stop right there. Those liberals stop right there. What they don't continue on with is, on the same line of that speech, he says, and I will try to renegotiate our terms. And if we can negotiate our terms so that they're more fair, then we'll jump back in and we'll sign a more fair-minded agreement. In the meantime, Bob, one last line. The United States is not going to stop at trying to continue to clean up our Energy Act. Like you said earlier, we don't need a European global accord that tells us that we're gonna have to spend more money than any other single country so that they can spread it around to the rest of these countries to do with what as they feel to feed their bureaucracy. Right. Why can't we just put our resources into doing it ourselves?
Exactly. And I'll conclude with this point. As long as decisions are made in the Oval Office to help people live normal lives, to help people live happy lives, to help people live healthy lives, to get jobs, to sustain jobs, to be what our founding fathers wanted this country to be. You know, I can go through all the little other issues that are affecting that, but I won't right now. Mm-hmm. Because my thing is, as long as our president, whoever he or she is, does what our founding fathers wanted from this country, then I'm happy.
Agreed.
Okay? Okay, great. I want to get into another subject, and I thank you, by the way, Alan, for your comments on what's going on with the Trump administration, and we'll continue to talk about that administration in future editions of In Perspective, okay? By the way, just send us an email at branco182@verizon.net if you have a question or comment, and we might even read your comment in public next time we have our program. Years ago, Al, when you and I were kids, we'd put on our little transistor radios or watch our televisions. Actually, it happens more with radio, so I'll stick to radio. Before every professional sporting event, especially in Boston, before a Red Sox game, before a Patriots game, before a Bruins game, before a Celtics game, we would hear the national anthem before the games, whether it's an organist or someone singing, you know, whatever. we would hear the national anthem. All of a sudden, in the past, I would say 20, 30 years, I could be wrong, we don't hear the anthem anymore. It's all a bunch of commercials. We don't hear it. I am a little disturbed by that. I know people are going to say, well, you know, you got to have commercials more and more because money is flowing into this economy and we got to have the advertising and all that. Yes, I agree. But I'll tell you what, as a listener to all of these commercials, and I am just as much of a consumer as everyone else is, that people are trying to shove commercialism down the throats of, it turns me off to hear all these ads, all these commercials. It turns me off. I'm not interested. Okay? Yeah, maybe once in a while there's a product I hear about that I want to buy. And I'm sure that all of these corporations and small businesses want to take the chance that people will hear and love their ads, and that's why they constantly pay for them. But I want to hear my national anthem. I want to hear it. I am patriotic. I want to hear it. And why I don't hear it anymore is baffling to me, and I'm sure it is to you too.
I think, Bob, once again, we almost have to politicize this as well. It seems like over the last 25, 30 years, we've been gradually getting away from our, I guess, identity as America. And so let's go back to your point. You mentioned the national anthem at the beginning of every American professional sporting event. And it is. Thank goodness we're still doing the national anthem at every game that we play here in the United States just about, post-high school. And thank goodness, because that's our time. No matter where we are, just as much on the radio as in the bleacher seats, at the stadium in the game or at the courtside or, the arena. That is a time, Bob, where as Americans, that tradition was spot on when it basically says we should all stand and solemnly thank whoever we want to, our country, our God or anybody else. So just reflect over how fortunate, how lucky we are to live in this country under this system. How well we have it.
Thank you. And I'd like to think that I would want to do that in my own home
exactly.
If I can't be
at a
ball game.
Right on. And Bob, to your point, commercialism, consumerism has basically just cut that ability to do that before each game. And I think that's indicative of very much a large part of why we are here today. If you look back again at presidential elections 15, 20 years ago, you would not half the things that are said today, especially that's anti-American, anti-patriotic, on both sides of the aisle, 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, those things would absolutely be not be tolerated, Bob. Absolutely no way.
Okay, can I make a connection? I want to connect both topics today.
Sure.
In this sense.
Go ahead.
Okay? Maybe this is why we have a Donald Trump.
Correct.
Because of things like commercialism interfering with the national anthem on radio stations before sports events.
Agreed. Totally.
Right, would you agree with that statement? This is maybe why we have a Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
In office. But to go further.
I think 60% of all Americans who are getting smashed down by mainstream media, Bob, in the way that these people on the left want it to be, and I think there is still about 55 to 60% of all Americans still want their tradition.
Well, to go further, I had to chuckle 2 weeks ago. I was listening to the pregame show, the Boston Red Sox, and I know you listen to them too.
Oh, yeah.
So when I tell you Tim Neverett, you'll know who I'm talking about.
Sure.
I heard Tim Neverett say, as he was giving the starting lineups one night before a Red Sox game on the radio, he said, our national anthem was sung today by so-and-so, and it was sponsored by so-and-so.
Yeah.
I'm saying to myself, how can you sponsor something that we never heard? You're paying, you're sponsoring the playing of the national anthem to us, but we never hear it.
That's a good point,
Bob. How can
Bob.
You say, how can you say it was brought to us by someone if it was never brought to us at all?
That is such a good point.
Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't at all. Why did he even bother bringing that out? It's almost like a sponsor wants a free ride, isn't it, Bob?
It would seem that way unless, you know, Al, I could be completely wrong. Maybe there's a radio station in the Red Sox radio network, although I doubt it because Flagship dictates the ads.
No, I agree.
But maybe there are stations out there who allow the national anthems to be played. I commend Nesson. I commend Nesson, and I'll conclude on this point. I commend Nesson.
I agree.
Because Amy and I, when we watch the Boston Bruins, we listen to the dulcet tones of Rene Rancourt at the Fleet Center or TD Bank Garden, whatever you want to call it, before Bruins games, singing the national anthem at home, and we love it. We love listening to him. Nesson allows us to hear the national anthem. But radio stations do not. And I really think
we
have a problem.
I don't get it at all. I almost think, you know, the federal government is so good at mandating things, Bob. If there's one single mandate that should be carried out by the FCC, I think they should demand that every single broadcast outlet, whether it's television or radio, air the national anthem. It's what, 1 minute, 45 seconds, something like that?
Not even that.
You know what I'm saying? And they could do it very quietly. And Bob, if anybody complains about having to listen to the national anthem versus listening to a commercial about, well, I won't pick on anybody, but any given product, product X or product Y, that means that they're simply anti-American and they can just suck it up and turn it off, you know?
It's like prayer in school. It's like prayer in school. We have a lot of atheists in this country. And my feeling is we should allow prayer in school. And if you are in the classroom and if you don't want to pray during that pray time, you don't have to.
You know,
who's going to know what you're doing?
You know what, Bob?
But let us have the opportunity.
Before Donald Trump came along and exposed a lot that's going on that's nefarious about this country, I would have disagreed with you. But you know something? We have lost our way so badly that I absolutely now that I've seen it, a lot of it, and understand what's been going on behind the scenes, I completely agree with you. We should be allowed to have our prayer time where we can thank our respective deity. And there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Not at all.
We need to, every day, Bob, like with the national anthem, we need to stop and smell the roses as people.
Yes.
We do.
Well, you know, Alan, I hate to say this, our time has run out.
I know. We've really gone lickety-split here, Bob.
Well, we always do when we talk, because we talk about interesting topics. I hope everyone else finds them interesting as well.
Hope so, too.
So, with that, I thank you very much again for another edition of In Perspective. We'll do another one next week before my class reunion, and we'll make sure that the right entities get the copy and help us promote the program. It's been a real pleasure, Al.
Same here, Bob. Thank you.
Have a great day, everyone.
Take care, all.